Big welcome to everybody on the Q&A. Barbara, Fred, James, Joanna, John, Cara, Lisa, Sarah, Tim, and Wayne. Great to have you on, guys. Now, let's just give a big shout out to two people. It is their first Q&A, I believe. Nope. Just one of them is their first Q&A. But let's give a big shout out and a big welcome to Cara. Awesome to have you on. Awesome to have you on. So let's get rolling, guys. All right, so let me just put the chat box up. So the first question is so funny. Everybody spelt her name wrong, even though it's like right in the chat. It just cracks me up. Okay, so the first question that we have, which is a longer one, which has come in from Wayne, which is all about marrying two sides of the business. So to give you a bit of background, Wayne's niche is simple and straightforward. It's helping entrepreneurs grow their business to run with or without them and to confidently sell it for maximum profit. So one of the questions was, is that's basically ultimately two niches, right? You have the one, which is the coaching side, which helps their clients in their business. And then you've got the other side, which is ultimately selling their business or business brokerage. Now, one of the things which Wayne has asked, and I put him in his Slack channel that I was going to answer into today's Q&A, has to do with how other people have done it. So I'm going to give you one of my very good friends. He runs a company which coaches people on how to invest safely in gold and silver. Now, the interesting thing about him is he's also bridged that gap between teaching people how to invest and fund management. So let me just show you his website here. Okay, let me know when you can see my screen, everyone. Just type in the chat box when you can. Beautiful. Thank you, guys. So, as you can see here, in his business, he basically teaches you how to create cash flow using gold and silver. And the model is pretty much the same, right? Which is, here's the webinar, sign up for the webinar. So show me the dates. And it takes you to an automated webinar, which you can see right here. You confirm your seat and it will tell you the days that that you can do, Monday or ultimately Tuesday. Now, with Manesh in this case, this is a standard registration page and it goes to a webinar. By the way, guys, this is exactly the same model that we teach in Sprint 3. It works phenomenally well in a lot of different niches. Now, post this model, what ends up happening is people implement the strategy, but even though it takes very little time to actually implement the strategy, has a 9 out of 10 success rate on it for people that actually implement it, what he has found is that his clients ultimately trust him. So what he's built now is a model, a coaching business, which not only just sells a product, Wayne, what it does is it actually sells trust. So across the entire journey, people trust him. And because his investors, the people that actually spend money on his program, are typically sophisticated investors, they have a lot of money to play with, what he found was when he opened his fund and he regulated it and all of that, he basically drove clients from his webinar through to his product and through the fund. So let me just show you what that ultimately looked like. So it was really this. So he drives traffic through to a webinar, through to his initial program. Okay, so that's the first bit there. What he ended up doing next is throughout the course of the program, he obviously got some, he gets happy clients on there. The vast majority of them are happy. But most importantly, through this entire period here, he's built up trust. Okay, Are you guys with me so far? Let me know in the chat box. Cool. Thank you, Cara. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Joanna, Claire. He's built up trust. Now, once he's built up trust, people know that his methodology ultimately works. And as they know that his methodology works, they're willing to trust him with their money. So the next phase comes in this scenario, where he brings them on to the fund. And that's how he marries the two. So his marketing method for the fund is actually, it's funny because it's totally different to the way most fund managers market their fund, yet it works beautifully and it allows him to get high ticket clients who value and trust him to invest in the fund. And so that's how Manesh bridged the gap between selling a coaching program to actually getting people to invest in a fund. So that's a great question, and the thing is about it, and this is what he says when we go out, is that he's created a trust building machine where ultimately, of course, he's making money off of the front end product, but what he's really doing is he's building up something far more valuable, which is high net worth investors. He's building up the trust with them that his program works and his product is safe. Great questions. Let's move on to the next one here. Okay, so we got a few which have been emailed in from Wayne, Barbara, John, some great ones here, and Paul as well. Okay, so Wayne is asking, regarding the branding of my niche, helping entrepreneurs grow their business to run with or without them and to confidently sell them for maximum profit, is the branding okay as coaching group, or should I have a different name/website address? So there's a few questions which are kind of linked to this here. So I'll read out all of them. The second question was, I have the URL coachinggroup.com. If I were to come up with a different URL, would it be okay to keep both and just let them compete for the best SEO, or is having one best? The next question is, should I brand Wayne Wright or the company The Wright Group brand? Encompass business brokerage and business coaching. My current tagline is your roadmap to freedom and profit. This almost works for both businesses. DeepT believes this is too abstract. What do you think? How about something like The Wright Group, business brokerage and coaching? Okay, so let's talk about the branding for a moment. Now, a few of you guys may be aware of this, but most of you, I can imagine, are not. We never started our branding as Psy.coach or Psy Blackburn.coach. The original branding actually started as Double Your Database. Because, Wayne, what I uncovered was, what I thought was, I ultimately want to sell this business, right? So, or I, at the time, I wanted to sell this business. Not really so much anymore. And one of the things which hit me was, well, if we brand it behind a person, it's never going to be built enough to sell. And so then the name Double Your Database kind of came out of the woodwork and it made sense. And over time, there was a reason why I changed it back to Psy.coach. And the reason behind that ultimately was that I found that as Double Your Database, growth was very stagnant. And the kind of clients that Double Your Database was attracting, more often than not, were low ticket clients. And so through my journey of building out the coaching business that we have today, the thing which occurred to me again and again and again was that the people that grow very quickly in the coaching space, the ones that do phenomenally well, phenomenally quickly, you know how they branded themselves? Take a guess in the chat box, guys. How do you think these guys have branded themselves? Exactly, Wayne, Shannon, Tim. Their name. They use their name. Now, the next... And the thing is with high-ticket coaching is they don't buy your methodology. They don't really No, they don't buy your methodology. They're not really buying your offices or your fancy name. What they're buying is you. They're buying the aspirational side of what it is you do and who it is that you are, that you represent their innermost desires. And so when you brand yourself as a company name versus your personal name, you basically depersonalize the entire brand. It turns into something where it's no longer you that's selling the brand. It's some company, you on behalf of the company. Now, the next day, and that evidently slows growth down. But also, one of the problems that I saw in that is you become pitched as a commodity versus a person, meaning that they start to compare you to other quote-unquote coaching companies that they think do the same thing. So you lose your most competitive angle in the coaching space, which is you and your personality. And by the way, guys, Wayne is a very likable guy. We actually spoke on Skype a number of times. But you lose your biggest selling point, which is ultimately your personality. And you become commoditized in the way that you would be compared to a bunch of other people down the line. Now, I have never seen this work out in a way where the business grows fast, it can get to the point where you can charge insanely high ticket, and it can get to the point where it can scale. I've yet to see it. People that use company names, I don't know anyone that's used a company name and grown to the greatest heights. Now, here's the interesting thing about that, because one of the fears using that is, hey, what about this business? I can never be sold if I do this. In particular, if you want to sell your business. And that was a concern of mine when I rebranded back to Cy Blackburn. And that all changed, by the way, when I went to a program called Millionaire Mind Intensive, which you guys may know, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. Basically, what that was, it was a seminar. It was a seminar, 3 days. They charged like $200-$300 to be there. And it was branded as T. Harv Eker's seminar. Millionaire Mind Intensive was branded as his seminar. Now, check this out. T. Harv Eker never showed up. T. Harv Eker never even appeared on Skype. T. Harv Eker never even appeared on video. It just happened in the background. And that weekend, there were 6 more of these seminars happening around the world. Now, there were 500 people in the room. How much do you think was made over the course of that weekend from selling from stage? Take a random guess, guys. How much do you think was actually made over the course of that weekend? Considering the presenter that's presenting the content is not T. Harv Eker. You've never heard of the guy. He was called Marcus De Maria. And it was branded on T. Harv Eker. How much do you think was made? Considering there are 500 people in the room. Give it a shot, guys. Just type in the chat box. What do you think? Shot for the moon there, Wayne. 250,000, 1 mil. 150K. 900,000 all around the world for the 6. In that room that weekend, 500 grand was made. That's in euros, right? So we're talking like $650,000, roughly. And that was the thing which truly blew my mind, was somebody who had built his entire business around a personal brand was able to totally free himself from the brand, have other people present it, still have the same impact, and with 500 people in the room, make 500,000 euros. So that was the thing which totally took away the fear of, hey, if I want to exit this business, what's going to happen? Because there are other people that have done it. When it comes time to exit, Wayne, it's all about systemization and structuring and actually having people replace you doing the things that you're good at, but still using your personal brand. And numerous coaches have done it. Tony Robbins has also done it for a vast majority of his business as well. And when you look around, there are a few people that have done it. Most people haven't done it because it's a little bit on the tricky side in order to free yourself from it, but it can be done. Now, the second question you asked was from the SEO standpoint. If I were to come up with a different URL, is it okay to keep them both? Coachinggroup.com for best SEO. Which ones? Fine. So you're asking if coachinggroup.com is a good SEO name. Well, for your keyword, you're looking at small business entrepreneurs. And just before I move on to second question, Lisa, no. So each ticket was about $300. The upsells, they sold several products. Their most expensive one was $8,000, but they started at $1,000 to $2,000, and then kind of worked their way up to $8,000. The $8,000 was the final pitch. I highly recommend, if you want your mind to be blown from a business angle, and there are not many things which blow my mind now in the coaching space, this did, right? The seminar was good. It wasn't that it was total fluff, but the way that they positioned everything was just a masterpiece. I will be recommending to everybody that comes on board Mastermind or Accelerator in the near future, or not even in the near future, for the years to come, to go to that seminar just to see how they do it. You don't necessarily have to buy something, but just see how they do it. Okay, so what Wayne is asking is coachinggroup.com, is this SEO friendly? Should you get another URL? The thing is, Wayne, you've got to think basically, does everybody know what SEO is, search engine optimization? Do you guys have an idea on what SEO is? Wow, all right. I'm surprised at that, but nicely done. Now, do you know what affects SEO? Does anybody have an idea on what affects SEO ultimately? Okay. All right. Let me just share with you, because we've been exploring this for the last, I think, 4 months or so. I don't proclaim to be an expert in SEO, but I believe we're getting about 2,000 hits a month right now without paying for them. So that's like $4,000 in traffic that we get to our blog without paying for them. And that's likely to go up to like 30, 40,000 by mid next year, I would imagine. So here's what I found, Wayne. If your URL is businessowner.com or entrepreneur.com or entrepreneurbusinessowner.com, if you have those, then the URL really counts for your SEO factor. However, if you don't have those kind of URLs, then getting another URL is not really going to make that much of a difference. Because you've got to remember, when it's about what are people actually searching for? Are they searching for coaching group? Are they saying, will coaching group get me the results I want? Unlikely. They're probably searching for, how do I stop micromanaging my people? Or they're looking at, as another example, how do I increase my profits without increasing my time expenditure? None of those have the URL coaching group in there. So the URL itself, in that case, I don't think it makes that much of a difference based on what's being said right now. Now, when it comes to building up content, right, and creating a content strategy for it, what I found doing our SEO is we have what you call small keywords here, which are just a few lines, and then you have something called a long tail keyword. So a small keyword would be life coaching courses. That would be a small keyword. A longer keyword would be, how do I build up my coaching business using Facebook ads, right? That would be this one here. Now, Wayne, if you create an article which says exactly what people are going to search for, even if the article sucks, even if the article has no real value to it or tangible value, you still get to number one on Google. And I've seen that with the articles that we've written that nobody else covers, right? When you type it in, our site comes up as number one on Google. With these kind of ones here, it's a more complicated strategy. You need to create content with these links, but then you also need to create something called a backlink. And basically what a backlink is, guys, it's where, and I'm just going to clear this up, it's where a blog, a blog post gets linked to by other blogs. And what that means is if several other blogs on the internet say, hey, you have to check out this blog post, what Google does is it says, this must be a really good blog post. So I am going to boost it up. And that's how you get short tail keywords. Wayne, if you really want to work on the SEO strategy, what I would say is ask DeepT to book in a call with our SEO team, our writing team. We have two people on staff, and that's what they do all day, every day. They are way better at crafting the strategy and figuring out what to do than I am. And they will help you craft your SEO strategy for the coaching space. They're the ones that have gotten us the 2,000 clicks a month so far, and are going to really increase it going forward. Fair enough? Okay, so your third question here, your current headline is your roadmap to freedom and profit. It is vague, but it's also pretty apt, right? It does encompass the Wayne Wright company. If you say the Wright Group, business brokerage, and coaching, it kind of contradicts everything that we've talked about in today's Q&A. But using the roadmap to freedom and profit, while using your first name, I believe would be a better combination, Wayne. Okay, so Claire's saying, probably a stupid question. I have a client willing to do a video testimonial. Should I ask her to on Zoom? Should I just send her a link to my webinar room? How do you record a Skype call if I meet her face-to-face? Do I do it on my phone video? Thanks, Si. So this is, believe it or not, a very basic question, but it's actually really important. Claire, just one question. Is she in your local vicinity? Is it easy to reach her? Then in that case, I would meet her in person and just do it through your phone. Make sure, yeah, do it through your camera then. Make sure that you stabilize it. And most importantly, the most important thing when getting a testimonial from somebody is write out the testimonial for them. Write it out for them. Because one of the things you're going to find as, and let me ask, has anybody experienced this here? When you've got your clients to willingly give you a testimonial, and then the testimonial they give you is terrible. Oh, guys, can you hear me okay? It seems to Claire's saying she can't hear me. Yeah. So in that scenario, Claire, what I would say is I write out all my testimonials for people, including the celebrities that we have giving me testimonials. So I write them all out, but I don't write them out in script. I write them out in bullet points, right? So I cover the first part, which is who she is and her background story, right? So basically give her credibility. So it's, the first part is ultimately credibility. The next part is why she decided to sign up with you. The final part is the results that she got. The next part is the results that she got. And then the final part of writing a great testimonial is what would she say if she was going to recommend it to somebody else? So, Joanna, it's used in everything post-website. So the website itself is fine, but we use it in the funnel. So the moment they book in a conversation, we use it in the webinars. We use it all around there. So the video testimonials, actually, I want to correct something here. They are the best when it comes to converting a client. However, when you put them on the initial homepage of the website, people don't really wait for them to load, and it cheapens the look of it. But when somebody has a buying intent from you, meaning that they're about to buy. Video testimonials are the ones which push them over the edge. And remember, when they come to your website, let's say lisamosley.com, they are not looking to buy. Their buying intent is very low. What they're looking for is, can you solve their problem? And so if they get an inkling that they can, that you can solve their problem, Joanna, what they'll do is they'll take a step further. And if they take a step further, then they're going to invest more time in you. Once they invest more time in you, the buying intent increases. Okay, so Barbara's saying, how do you set up international payment online? How do you choose to name your business, name my niche, the name for niche, or as many names as the time goes on? As a business coach, isn't LinkedIn potentially... Okay, there's a few questions here. Sorry, Barbara, it looks like our team did not number them in four. So let me just separate these. Okay, so Barbara is saying, how do you set up international payment online? You guys know my feelings about this one. So what I use is a website called Stripe. This one here. And I will type it in the chat box, by the way. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Let me just get you the right one. Okay, stripe.com, not slash DE. That's because I'm in Berlin right now. That's why it says that. Now, the thing about Stripe is it's probably the easiest way to take payments online, especially when you're taking credit cards over the phone. So taking credit cards over the phone, it's super, super simple. You just type in their name and you click bill. So that's the one that I would recommend, is use Stripe. Now, everybody that's about to set up a payment processor, has anybody not got their payment processor set up yet? Can you just type in the chat box, has anybody not completed their payment processor? Okay, this is going to be valuable for you guys then. Don't do PayPal. Yeah, don't do PayPal, guys. Use Stripe. But what I will say about Stripe is, email them and let them know your business model and tell them, specifically tell them, that you want them to do all of the due diligence on you at the beginning, not later on down the line, not once you've processed payments. Say, listen, this is how I'm going to process payments. I want you to do your due diligence on me now and accept or reject my application before I start taking payments. Because, and please listen to the recording, this is really important. Because what I found, and I've had a lot of payment processes in my time, I've also had my PayPal account frozen like 12 odd times when I've done product launches, and we had like 100 grand come in the space of a couple of days. They froze the accounts. It was super, super frustrating. And what you'll find with payment processes is they freeze your accounts all the time. Now, I have found a way around that. And the way around that is to request them to do the due diligence up front. And say, I do not want my account frozen once I start taking payments. We had this scenario at the beginning of this year. We were changing our payment processor, and we changed it to Worldpay, right? Stay away from them like the plague. And they approved us, and everything was good. And because we hadn't processed payments for like 2 weeks, we had $40,000 worth of payments to process. So we processed $40,000 worth of payments. And then they froze our account. And they said, you know what, we're not going to give you the money. And over the course of three months trying to battle this, they finally said, due to this clause in the contract you have signed, we are not going to release the money. Now, the problem with that is I still had to deliver to the clients that had paid. But we didn't get paid anything. And the only way to overcome that was to hire a legal team and fight them. But that would have cost way more than what we would have gained if we'd even won. So this is more of a warning. Get them to do the due diligence beforehand. And what they will typically say, it's not my story alone, by the way, Wayne. This is a very common story when you start succeeding as a coach, is that payment processes freeze your accounts all the time, right? So do your background on this one. But what they will typically say is they will say, what we'll do is we will freeze 30% of all funds that you process. This is once you ask them to do due diligence. They'll freeze 30% of all funds that you process and we'll wait for 180 days and then we will release those funds. Now, it's better that they do that than they freeze your entire account and block off all of your funds, because setting up a new account, doing the whole process again, is a nightmare. So strongly suggest that's the route that you go down. Make sure that you request of them to do the due diligence before. Okay, so let's look here. So Barbara's asking, how do you choose a name for your business? So Barbara, when we were speaking with, there isn't a workaround, Fred, not at all. The only workaround is to get them to do the due diligence beforehand. Does it add extra time to the process? Yes, it does. It'll probably add an extra 2 weeks to you getting set up with a payment processor, but save the frustration. It's well worth those 2 weeks. So how do you choose a name for your business? Simply, Barbara, like I spoke about it with Wayne earlier, that choose your personal brand, Barbara Stickland, as the brand name for all of the reasons that I talked about earlier. So Barbara's also asking, as a business coach, isn't LinkedIn potentially better than Facebook? Yes, it is, but you have to know how to use LinkedIn. So once you reach Sprint 3, Barbara, in Accelerator, you'll see exactly how we do our LinkedIn. But I'll share this to you in short. So what the basic way that did I mispronounce your name? Barbara Stickland. It's kind of hard to mispronounce that one. Strickland. I said Stickland. Anyway, the way that we use LinkedIn is we use groups. Now, if we're going to search, for example, in your niche, right? Your niche are more business owners. I think I did this a couple of weeks ago as well. Once you get here, click on the groups, and you'll find a ton of groups just filled with business owners, entrepreneurs, and startups. Wayne, that's for you. Business owners again, Wayne, construction business owners, perfect. What you do is you click on that, and then you contact the group owner. Now, there's a whole strategy to contacting a group owner, but the cool thing about LinkedIn groups is if you're the owner of the group, you can actually send an email out to your group. You can send an email out to all the members of the group. And the other cool thing about that is when the email goes to all of your group members, guess what? It comes from LinkedIn. So you get added credibility as if LinkedIn is promoting you. So it's super cool. But that's, yeah, LinkedIn, if you are going to use it for your niche, it works great. I would go down the groups angle, because there are plenty of groups in your target audience with plenty of members. Very easy to reach. And the best part about that is when they mail out to their group, what's happening, or when they send a message out to their group, is what's happening is that they are they're reaching their inbox. And look at this, right? Hold on. Here we go. Let me know when you can see the screen in front of you. Yep. So all of these guys here, all of these names, these are all LinkedIn groups who have promoted us, right, at different times. So there are a ton. Like, this was a particularly good week here. And these are all LinkedIn groups, right, including E.G. Sebastian. Some of you guys may know that one as well. But Barbara, that's a little bit down the line for now. A little bit down the line. Okay, so we have a longer question from John, so let me just read through it. In the meantime, if you have any questions, type it in the chat box. Okay, so we have a few questions here. So John, one of the things that you also posted as well, that you wanted some feedback from the group about the title of your program. If you can post that in the Facebook group, that would be fantastic. Because reading it out loud here, it would take too long on the Facebook group. Everybody can see it, including the people that are not on the Q&A, and they can get an inkling from their own experience how to give you advice back. Okay, so we've got a few questions in from John. The first one is, I wanted to ask your insight on how to go about constructing a powerful and effective elevator pitch which immediately signals those listening to you that you offer a premier service. Okay, so let me tell you how we do it. What I find, John, is I just have a very clear and concise pitch of what I do. And it's that I do the technology for coaches. That's it. Now, it's not designed to elicit high or low value. What it's designed to do is for those that want what I have to be triggered by it immediately, right? But those that don't want what I have to not care. And with any elevator pitch for what you do, you want to create something like some kind of polarization where the people that want what you have, they want it and it's an immediate need for them. But the people that don't want what you have, John, it's totally ignored for. So in terms of your elevator pitch, I would find out what that tagline is, right? So Wayne's was the roadmap to freedom and profit. What's your tagline going to be? What's going to trigger people immediately to say, yes, I want that, or no, I do not? Now, one thing you mentioned as well, in scaling a high-ticket coaching package, what are the main components in that package that would distinguish a $2,000 client from a $10,000 client? So here effectively is the makeup of a high ticket program. Like, we have tested so many ways of delivering programs, a ton of them. But the way that a high ticket program works, John, is simply this. So you have four different components. And you may recognize it because it's very similar to what we do. The first component is your membership site. Now, the membership site is it's going to host 70% of your content, and that's going to be the repetitive content which you repeat again and again and again. The next part of the program is your Q&As, or are your weekly Q&A calls, right? This is the next part to the program. So weekly Q&A calls. These, by the way, are super, super cool, because with the Q&A calls, you actually learn a lot about what people are struggling with, where you can improve, what they're looking for. I learn a ton from doing these Q&A calls as to what are the desire points of our target niche. And you will find the same when you do Q&A calls. They'll come up with things that you never thought about and you never even considered. And you're like, wow, that's a great idea, right? So the Q&A calls, you have them once a week. Now, the next one is the Facebook group. So you have a private Facebook group as well, John. And the reason we choose Facebook and not Ning or any other platform is that people log into Facebook on average 5 times a day, right? Regardless of who they are. They log in much more frequently than any other platform. And so by having Facebook, what you'll find is that the notification bar goes off every time somebody posts in your group. So you're going to get much more interaction on your group than you are anywhere else. So these are three components. The fourth one is what I call a customer delight piece. Okay, the customer delight piece is basically giving them unexpected rewards. So when they sign up for your program, how do you welcome them? Do you ship them a free book? Do you give them a welcome basket? Like, what do? But the customer delight is giving them things which they didn't buy, like unexpected rewards. In previous Q&As, I've talked a lot about customer delight and giving unexpected variable rewards. So that's basically the setup of a high ticket program. This is the one that we've found. Now, we used to have one without a without a Q&A. We used to have just a membership site. But then what we found is that people were struggling. We weren't getting much completion on it. And then we added the Q&A. The Facebook group as well, the thing is, with the membership site and the Q&A and not the Facebook group, what I found was that people weren't sharing their wins. And because they weren't sharing their wins, when things got hard in the program, and trust me, with every program you guys are going to release, as easy as you make it, clients are going to find bits hard. The motivation that people share in the Facebook group keeps them going. So the Facebook group was really important in our technology stack in order to keep people motivated and keep them going. Totally. All right, so Fred is asking. Fred, I don't really understand the question. Your question is what's the makeup? So the first one is, who are they? So my name is Claire Ford. This is where I live. This is who I am. And I decided to sign up with Fred because I was really struggling with X, Y, and Z. And then they go into the story for a longer period. The results I got were Fred did X, Y, and Z. And I've got to say, it was truly outstanding. If you're thinking of signing up with Fred, it's going to be one of the best decisions that you've ever made in your life. That's basically how the testimonial story goes. And if you want to know how that looks, look at the Chris Howard testimonial that he did for me. I had to give him that exact framework, and it's a killer testimonial. So Claire's saying, I've been invited to a 15-minute talk to some of my ideal clients next week. Fantastic, Claire. Your first JV. Well done. Should I invite them top on a call to find out more or include some kind of activity? Get them on a call. Once you get them on a call, Claire, then they're in your funnel, and then you have the opportunity to sell what you do to them. So definitely opt for them to get on a call. That's what I always do in very short scenarios. Get them on a call. Okay, so let's have a look here. So Paul's saying he's identified three possible niches. How would you go about testing the size, the viability, and the potential of those niches? Okay, so this is a great question, by the way. It's a shame that Paul's not with us today. But this is a fantastic question. And how do you go about defining your potential niche in terms of coaching and how big it is? Well, there are a ton of different ways. You can search for search. You can look for search volume. You can look search volume on Google. You can look at Facebook Insights. You can look at ClickBank. You can do all of these things, which I used to teach people how to do. But I found a way that's really, really simple, right? A really simple way of identifying how big your target market is. And the way that you go about that, guys, is this. Look for competitors in your field, competitors, right? People that are doing what you want to do. And if it's an established niche, there will be competitors. Saying that you are the first one to do what you do, one of two things went wrong. Either what you do has zero profit in it, which is why nobody else is doing it, or you have a badly defined niche, right? Now, that being said, I can tell you everybody that's on Accelerator and Mastermind has a niche where there are competitors in. So the way you find out how big the market is or how much potential it has is, firstly, look into how long have these competitors been around. Have they been around 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? If they've been around for longer than 5 years, then pass through to the second question, which is, how successful are they? Right? What is their fan base on Facebook? What does their branding look like? Do you think these guys invest a lot of money on what they do? Do they run seminars and workshops? Are they fully booked? I'm talking like mainstream competitors, by the way, guys. So look into how successful they are. That'll give you an idea of market reach. Now, the final one, which is is pricing. These guys have spent so much time testing and researching their pricing. What you should know is that they have landed on a price which works for their market. It's not too high, it's not too low, but it's the one which is going to deliver the maximum revenue. So if you want to see what your upper cap potential is, just have a look at their pricing and it will give you an idea of how much they can charge, how much you can charge. Obviously, from that point, that gives you the bare bones to establish your business in the niche. And going forward, you can start testing different pricing, different package combinations, all of these kind of things, but it'll give you the bare bones to do so. And that's the easiest way, right? All of this analytical stuff and all of that, at the end of the day, it's fine, it's entertaining, it'll be interesting for you, but the most valid way is looking at competition, because at the end of the day, these guys have actually implemented what you want to do. Okay, so we have a question that's come in from Joanna. Joanna is saying, last week I met 100 executive ladies, my niche. I thought of contacting one by one on LinkedIn and offering a call. Am I right? Joanna, you need to do in a two-message process. If you're going to go cold calling, well, it's not really cold calling because you've already spoken to them already. But let me ask you, did you speak on stage or was it more that you were networking in a place with your target audience? Because if you spoke on stage, it's entirely different. Okay, got it. Try and get on stage next time. It'll do way, way better for conversion. In that case, do a two-message process. Right, message them once saying, it was great meeting you here and here and here. Talk a little bit about what their struggles are. Get them to reply and then say, you know, I think I could help you. How about we just jump on a call? And we'll develop a strategy with you. And listen, if it's great, I ask that if it's great, let's see how good it would be for me to how good of a fit it would be for me to be your coach. If it doesn't work, no problem. You'll still get some great value from the call. Ideally, Joanna, I would love it if you could run them through the webinar. But if the webinar is not complete yet, that strategy will get you a bunch of calls, and they'll be semi-qualified. Not the highest qualification, but definitely semi-qualified. All right, guys. So it looks like that was the entire stack of questions. I don't think I've ever had that many which were emailed in. So it's interesting because we're starting to have more and more people get to Sprint 3 on Accelerator. Claire, I'm getting word from our little birdies that you're going to be the next one. So congratulations. You're really, really close to getting to Sprint 3. Well done. Now, Sprint 3, guys, that's going to be where you're really going to be developing the business. All of the launch side of it is already ready to go. Everything else, as far as the business goes, has already been established. It's already set up. And now it's just about driving traffic. So Sprint 3 is going to be awesome for you guys. So just before we wrap up the call, you're very welcome. Just before we wrap up the call, guys, I apologize, but one thing I constantly fail to mention to people is that, we love referrals. We love it when people get so much value from what we do that they refer their friends or refer other people that they meet to us. So just one request. If anybody does come to mind or anybody that you know or think of that you think would be a great fit that's really struggling in launching their coaching business, doesn't know what they're doing as far as the technology goes in the business, would you just let them know about me? Only if you're getting value, of course. Is that a fair request? Thanks, Cara. Thanks, Lisa. Thank you, Fred. Cheers, Wayne. Thanks, James. Thanks, Joanna. Thank you, John. Thank you so much, guys. And you know, I just connect us, Claire. So once if you think of anybody, just have a chat with them. Let them know about what you're doing and what you've achieved, and then just connect us. And I'll make sure that OB or Perez takes a call with them, and then hopefully I'll take a call with them as well. So that's how connect with us about it. And guys, it's always a pleasure. You know, I love it when people get so much value out of what we've created. It's you know, bordering half a decade in the making right now. And ultimately, here's what you can expect by the time you finish Accelerator. You can expect to build a business like mine, where you have a team which is dealing with most of the technology side. The vast majority of the business is automated, and you're ultimately doing what you love to do. And on top of that, the business is high ticket, generating many tens of thousands a month, and it allows you to travel around the world and coach from anywhere. So remember, as you work through Accelerator, as you're battling through the parts which are great fun, as you battle through the parts which are not so much fun, just understand at the end of the day, that's what you're fighting for this business to build you a life which you love, and we'll be here for you the entire time. Organize a party in Bali. Yes, my mum actually just set up her house there, believe it or not. Lovely villa with a pool, so I'm sure that she wouldn't mind lending it to us for that shindig. Okay, so Claire's saying, I had a conversation with someone about this morning, Sai, with somebody who runs a huge network of therapists. Can I send them the link? Claire, you know, I will get Deep T to reach out to you if that's okay, and she'll make sure that I connect with them, because we can just do a JV with them, Claire, as well. But really fantastic. Thank you so much for thinking of me. And if you could just let me know the name via Slack, so just Slack me through a message with the name of the person, that would be fantastic. All right, guys. Well, once again, awesome to have you guys on board. I've got to say, it's been an intense weekend. We had our European team fly into Berlin. So while I would like to say we were living it up on Saturday and Sunday, we really weren't. We were spending time in our Berlin offices just training. So really looking forward to my honeymoon, which is coming up on the 22nd. So I'll be heading off for that. So don't expect fast replies from me until I'm back on the 3rd. Nonetheless, this is how much I love everyone on the Mastermind. I say that without hyperbole or exaggeration. Next Monday, in the middle of the honeymoon in Vienna, we are still going to have our Q&As, and it's going to be a killer session. I'll turn on the camera so you can see the opera houses and all of that, but it's going to be a pleasure. All right, guys, I wish you all the best. Remember, kick ass, take names, and I'm going to see you on next week's Q&A in Vienna with a 7-month pregnant wife. I'll see you guys soon. And yes, to my American friends, to Lisa, Wayne, Tim, to John, Cara, Fred, and ZAFH, I have no idea who you are. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And remember, as much as I say, don't eat yourself into a coma, it's the one time a year where nobody's going to blame you for doing so. So have a wonderful meal, and I will see you guys next week. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.